Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I am the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Yeah, welcome, everyone. So today we want to talk about the ECB's June meeting. So before the June meeting, all outside observers have expected the ECB to hike its policy rate again, because the ECB has signaled such a move already in advance. But what was less clear is whether the ECB would signal also something about the future rate path, in particular, whether it's getting close to its so-called terminal interest rates. That was particularly interesting because the Federal Reserve in the United States has decided to give interest rate increases a pause, at least. But the ECB President Lagarde signaled that there would be, in all likelihood, another interest rate increase in July. She didn't signal much more beyond that horizon, what would happen after July. But I think all in all, this was a rather hawkish ECB meeting.
Indeed. But let's start with the decisions taken. So the ECB lifted its policy rate by 25 basis points, implying that the so-called deposit rate, which is currently the relevant policy rate that anchors short-term money market rates, at 3.5%. So in total, the ECB has now lifted its policy rate by 400 basis points since it started its hiking cycle in the summer of last year. This is much faster and steeper rate hike path than during any previous hiking cycle. But of course, inflation now is also much higher, and it has been during past hiking cycles.
Yeah. So the ECB explained the rate hike with the fact that, and I now quote, "inflation is projected to remain too high for too long." End quote. And the updated staff projections reflect this. They show headline inflation now to be at 5.4% for this year, 3.0% in 2024, and 2.2% in 2025. Compared to the March projections, which were the latest forecasts in the last round, this implies a small upward revision. But more importantly, perhaps, than headline inflation, the projections for the new forecasts of core inflation are of interest. And this is because the ECB now projects, or the ECB staff to be precise, now projects a rate of 5.1% for this year, which is more than 0.5% higher than the forecast 3 months ago. And it projects 3.0% in 2024, which is also 0.5 percentage point higher than in the last projection round. And still for 2025, it projects 2.3% after having projected 2.2 in the last forecasting round. So these are quite significant upward revisions and can be interpreted as a form of hawkish messaging. And quite interestingly, the inflation outlook remained largely unaffected by the fact that the euro area has been in a recession over the past two quarters. And that's perhaps because of the relative mildness of this recession. The recession has also barely affected the ECB's growth outlook for this year. It was only marginally revised downwards to 0.9% growth for the current year after previously forecasting 1.0% in the previous forecasting round.
Now, what seems to have triggered the significant reassessment of the outlook for core inflation are latest data on wages. And during the press conference, President Lagarde referred several times to wages as a crucial factor to watch now. So according to Ms. Lagarde, wage developments play, and I quote, "a significant role as a driver of inflation now." And more specifically, Ms. Lagarde mentioned unit labor costs, that is the change in wages paid relative to the output produced as an, I quote, "issue."
Yeah. So let's look at the latest wage developments. And I think these concerns about wage developments are understandable. So one measure of wage dynamics are compensation per employee. That's a very broad measure of wage pressure, and it's coming from the national accounts. And this measure increased by 5.2% year over year in the first quarter of 2023. After having shown a 4.8% increase year over year in the previous quarter. So compensation per employee is rising at increasing rates, and it's also high in overall terms. The long-term average for this measure before the pandemic was around 2.1%. So now we are running at 5.2%, more than 3% faster. Ms. Lagarde, however, seemed to place particular emphasis on another measure of wage pressures, so-called unit labor costs. These are wage costs per unit of output produced, and they have gone through the roof. We are now growing at 5.6% year over year in the first quarter of this year, after having seen a growth rate of 5.1% in the last quarter of 2022. And this is perhaps not surprising, as the euro area went through a mild recession and firms probably were reluctant to shed labor because of the tight labor market, which makes it hard to rehire people. And as a result of the output contraction, some part of this output contraction led to an increase in unit labor costs, because the wage compensation basically stayed the same or increased while output fell.
It's certainly worth stressing here the importance of productivity growth in all this. So higher wages are not per se inflationary to the extent that they reflect an increase in productivity. Say workers' productivity increased by 10% because he or she gets a specific training or can work with a better machine, his or her wage can also increase by 10% without that wage increase leading to lower profits for the company. Put differently, a wage increase is not an increase in cost that would trigger price increases by company, as long as these wage increases are compensated by higher productivity.
Yeah, and unit labor costs are therefore an interesting measure to look at. They account automatically for productivity increases. If wage increases are matched by output increases, then unit labor costs will not move. So in principle, unit labor costs are the theoretically preferred measure of wage pressures. This said, the correlation between unit labor costs and measures of core inflation has been rather loose over the last 10 years. In particular, we haven't seen in the past that big increases in unit labor costs led to much higher core inflation. And I thus found it a little surprising that Ms. Lagarde emphasized the forecasting power of unit labor costs for future core inflation. For instance, during the 2008 recession that followed the financial crisis, following that, we have seen large increases in unit labor costs that were not followed by increases in core inflation. In any case, the ECB staff is forecasting unit labor costs to rise strongly going forward. They are expected to be up 5.6% for this year, 3.4% in 2024, and 2.6% in 2025. And this reflects strong growth of compensation, plus 5.3% expected for this year, but also weak labor productivity growth. In fact, negative labor productivity growth for 2023 at the rate of minus 0.3%. Productivity growth is expected to recover in the subsequent 2 years, reaching again levels of 1% or even higher in the following years.
So let's now come to the outlook for rates going forward. So the ECB stressed once more the three factors that would determine the future interest rate path. First, the inflation outlook. Second, the dynamics of what they call underlying inflation. That means excluding the volatile parts, and thirdly, the strength of monetary policy transmission. So looking at the first one of these criteria, the inflation outlook deteriorated according to the latest projections, though not that much if you look at headline inflation, and that's then the second criteria, the dynamics of underlying inflation. If one thinks that's reflected in the core inflation, they deteriorated quite a bit. And with respect to the transmission, the ECB sees its policy stance as being passed on, I quote, forcefully to the private sector. But differently, funding conditions for the private sector are being tightened significantly in response to ECB policy hikes, which should help controlling inflation eventually. Or put differently again, if the ECB had the feeling that its policy rate changes would not be passed on to the private sector via banks or markets, then of course all else equal it would need to do more, but that's not the case. Again, that's why they determine this to be forcefully.
Yeah, so the strong transmission of policy rates into market rates is certainly there when we look at bank lending rates for corporates. The levels reached there are not far from the levels reached during the euro area crisis in 2011 and 12. But quite interestingly, this time, bank lending rates to non-financial corporates in Germany turn out to be higher than those in Italy or France. In fact, bank lending rates in Germany now lie almost 200 basis points above the level of the 10-year German sovereign rate, which is a historic high for the euro area. Usually, the German lending rates rarely exceeds the German 10-year rate by more than 50 basis points.
And finally, for the record, we should perhaps mention that reinvestment of maturing bonds purchased under the so-called APP program will end as expected in July. But let's now come to the market reaction, in particular the rate outlook further ahead as viewed through the lens of financial markets. But should say that it's not straightforward, or rather difficult, to summarize the market reaction. At the publication of the new staff projections yesterday, so at quarter past two, we saw an increase in 10-year German rates by around 5 basis points. In line with the fact that the staff projections conveyed a quite hawkish message. However, rates then started to decline slightly and then ended after the press conference at a level that was lower than before the announcement of the rate decision and the publication of the staff projections.
Yeah, so the market now prices in another 25 basis point interest rate hike for July. And that's not surprising because Ms. Lagarde actually promised such an increase at the press conference, barring any major events. Then in August, the ECB will not hold a regular policy meeting. So all eyes are now on the September meeting. And for September, the market prices in a 60% probability of yet another 25 basis point interest rate hike. So the market still seems to believe that the ECB is sort of close to its terminal rate. It doesn't think with certainty that there will be further rate increases after the promised July increase. And that's there despite the deterioration in the inflation outlook. Interestingly, the response of the euro against the dollar was much less ambiguous, with the euro strengthening considerably, rising from around 1.08 before the meeting to around 1.095 after the meeting.
So to summarize what we've learned from the meeting yesterday, core inflation is obviously a very crucial factor to watch in next month to determine where then the ECB will stop its rate hikes. If core inflation continues to decline in maybe in quite meaningful way, then my personal guess would be they're almost done. If that's not the case, of course, another hike in September, even beyond that, is in the cards. And as stressed several times during the press conference yesterday, wage growth is another important factor to watch. And here we would need to see moderation in wages, or at least no further acceleration going forward. That's all for today. There won't be any podcast next week, but thereafter we'll obviously resume. Talk to you then, Klaus, in 2 weeks' time.